project, which has been beset by delays and cost overruns. While the decision will save customers billions in additional costs, the two utilities may get little to nothing refunded of the billions they've already paid for the now abandoned project. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Hello, my darling. Welcome to the radio.
Hello, my darling.
Welcome to the
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the most exciting hour of radio ever.
Try to sound a little more sincere when you say that.
You know, I've been thinking about this, and I get some sort of smart-ass comment from you every time I start this show, and I'm realizing that it comes from my own negativity, but I have to say that I enjoy this show so much that by the time we get rolling here, I'm actually in a much better mood, but normally when I start this mood, I'm coming in Valley Girl, rolling my eyes. And
yeah, that's fair.
You know, kind of...
Well, today I'm walking in here feeling like I've just been fumigated because of the combination of heat and smoke. I'm just like, I'm barely conscious, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, for those of you in the, you know, those of you that are local will know, but those of you in the rest of the country, Sean and I are currently sitting in well over 100-degree weather surrounded by forest fires, so it looks quite apocalyptic. And tomorrow is going to be, what, 116 degrees?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Far too hot, I think, is what the paper said. They didn't actually give a number.
Yeah, I can't, you know.
Stay indoors.
Makes you wonder why we live here.
Well, it's cheap because no one else wants to live here.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's true. You know, most, I would say that a lot of fans of the paranormal are fans of the Twilight Zone.
That's
and
true.
Whenever it's hot like this, it always makes me think of a specific episode of the Twilight Zone. I was telling our illustrious producer, Joe, about this earlier today. And there's this episode of The Twilight Zone where the Earth is slowly moving away from the sun. No, it's slowly moving towards the sun.
Yeah, that I was going to say.
And everybody's cooking, and they're all going to die, and this woman's a painter, and her paintings are melting, and this guy breaks in, and he's going to kill her for water, and so on and so forth. And then in the end, you know, she starts to come out of her fever dream, and the reality of the situation is that the Earth is moving away from the sun, and that they're all going to freeze to death, and due to the cold, she's so sick that she's having this feverish dream about burning to death.
Hmm. I guess that puts our town in some kind of perspective.
Yeah. Well, when I told Joe about this, he's all, "You're a weird dude, Charles."
That's, as any of our regular listeners will know, fair.
Well, I don't know. I think it's all relative, and seeing how I sit across the table from you, I think that puts me in a pretty good light. They're all, you know, the normal one, Chauncey. The guy who talks about normal things, like Twilight Zone episodes.
Yeah. I don't know if the full extent of my weirdness comes across on this show.
Yeah, that's true.
I think I'm pretty straight-laced compared to what the actuality is when I'm on the airwaves.
Yeah, you reel it in pretty good. Pretty good. But I don't.
I try.
Don't know. So let's see if we can highlight some of your weirdness. What new happened to you this week, Sean?
Did you have something specific in mind?
No. I'm just going to riff off of whatever you say, and we're going to see.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate because my mind just went totally blank. I can't think of.
So nothing.
I can't even
remember
what happened to me yesterday. Now that you've asked me that question,
all right, it's been interesting. Yeah, I can't.
I was locked outside of my house for a while because I was wandering around at 2 a.m. and then. I mean, I'm specifically looking for a weird example, but yes,
that did happen. This is good. Keep going. This is good.
There's a mundane explanation. You see, it's hot in Reading, so it only night. So yeah, I was wandering around my neighborhood, and I was
looking
also
for a victim.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I mean, I do get worried about wild animals and stuff at night. So I was carrying a large knife as I walked around the woods at 2 in the morning. But it was for purposes of, you know, security and feeling a bit, little safer about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, what's your excuse for wearing the clown suit?
Next question.
Right. All right, so we got guests, as we tend to. Yep. Our guest tonight is a YouTube channel, One Candle Society.
Cool name.
It is a cool name. They got some cool imagery going on there. And One Candle Society are basically general paranormal researchers, and they have a lot of cool videos that cover a multitude of paranormal topics. So we should be covering a multitude of paranormal topics.
That's right.
Tonight we picked a couple few.
Yeah, we did. And I'm excited because several of them are more occult, which is I feel like where I like to be. When it comes to paranormal topics.
Yeah, they're hard. They're hard topics to get quality guests for occult topics.
You know, mostly we talk to ufologists, honestly, because that is a huge community and that's who's out there.
It is a huge community, and it doesn't take as many freaks and weirdos, man.
there's a little bit of natural quality control.
Yeah, the occult, you know, like if you're, you know, I'm, you know, getting all freaky and, you know, summoning something, you know, you tend to be somebody who has, you know, maybe some social issues, a hard time paying the rent.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
Well, I also have some funny stories about that, but I guess I won't get into it.
Yeah, you can follow that up on the on the After Dark episode.
Yeah.
All right. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. And when we return, we have our guests, One Candle Society. Thanks a lot.
Tuesday on Free Fire Radio, Carl will be joined by co-host Eric Woodstrom, president of the Northern Division of Five Star Bank. Guests will include Shasta County Veteran Service Officer Tommy Key to update you on benefits available to those who have served in our armed forces. Also, after nearly 20 years at Reading Yamaha helping generations of motorcycle riders, Rob is retiring as manager of the longtime Reading business. Hear his insights on life on two wheels. KCNR's Free Fire Radio, the town hall of the local airwaves. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hey, Linda, where do you think the best place in town is to get a sandwich?
Well, my favorite is the Best Little Sandwich Shop. I like the one on Eureka.
Well, you know, they've got four locations. They have Anderson, another place on Churn Creek in Redding, and, of course, Palisadro.
Remember the party we went to the other day? The food was catered by the Best Little Sandwich Shop, and it was amazing.
It was some of the best food I've had at any one of those types of events.
Just mention Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. Get 10% off at the Best Little Sandwich Shop at any of the four locations.
Check out the menu at tbls.com. The Best Little Sandwich Shop.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Murders, riots, violence, terrorism, hatred, racism, all result from a failed liberal progressive ideology. When you take pliable minds and instill violent, hate-filled rhetoric into them, you create mentally unstable individuals. Understand, there are evil people in this world who use their religion and beliefs as justification for their violent, evil actions. Your best protection from this corrupt ideology is having a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guests, One Candle Society. Do we got you guys there with us?
Yeah, we're here.
All right, how are you doing? Is this Marcus?
Yeah, this is Marcus D.
And Vic is there also?
Yep, I'm back here.
All right, back here. Actually, it sounded back there, so it's fitting. How are you guys doing? We're really excited to have you guys as guests on the show tonight. We've done our research and watched quite a few of your guys' videos. And just to re-explain to our audience, One Candle Society is a YouTube channel that really focuses on documentary style and short snippet style videos about the paranormal and mysteries. Is that correct?
That's pretty accurate, but we also do paranormal investigations as well.
Yeah, I was noticing that from one of your videos that we're going to discuss later. But first, you know, how did you guys get started in doing this?
Well, back in about 2014, a lot of our friends, we came together realizing that we had this real love of the paranormal, and there was all these places around Evansville, southern Indiana, that were allegedly haunted, and we were really interested, so we decided to make a paranormal group in order to actually start going out investigating, you know, very similar to a lot of people that get into paranormal investigating with their friends.
And so
about a year.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh well, I was just saying, like, so you guys start your paranormal group, and somewhere along the way, you guys made a hefty transition to making the videos?
Yeah, after a while, I've always really wanted to do something more in the information networking. So I asked Marcus if he'd be willing to do a YouTube show with me, and that's how the whole thing got running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm really kind of amazed at the amount of followers and the amount of views that you guys have on there compared to a lot of your contemporaries. You know, it's
really Don't worry. Our wives are very surprised about the number of people that listen to us talk to. So they were equally shocked.
They were equally shocked at your success. I'm not sure if that's a good sign for the marriage. Although, you know, I think my wife kind of looks at me every once in a while and goes, I can't believe he actually pays the rent now. So, what was the very first video that you guys did?
Oh, that was our Shadow People video. Yeah, we really wanted to try to reach out to other people with something that we found was a very common paranormal experience that a lot of people have talked about. A lot of people, when you look at some of their first encounters with the paranormal, many people describe seeing shadow people at a very early age. So we thought that was a really great way to kind of launch our YouTube channel.
That's interesting.
What we ended up with was about 45 minutes of straight awkwardness, because, you know, first video.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We know about that.
Oh, believe me. Yeah. There's a lot of stumbling in. So your guys' biggest video, without a doubt, is, by and large with views, is five creepy things said by astronauts.
Five chilling things said by astronauts.
Yeah, and I am kind of a sucker for space. I'm a sucker for sort of the realities of space, you know, the things that don't go too far outside of what we already know. Of course, you know, I follow ufology and a lot of that stuff too, but this one specifically piqued my interest, and a lot of other people's too, obviously. You have about 1.5 million views on that one. And so, man, some of them really are quite freaky, you know. The Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong one is probably the one that people will identify with the most, and that's that they're hearing that, you know, back home here, we're hearing them talk about seeing other people on the moon, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, astronauts have always been kind of the center point, I think, in the ufology argument between, like, skeptics and believers. And I know people are always trying to say, like, what are they really seeing when they're going up there? And, you know, they're always like, these are the most staunch believers in the UFOs to... These are the biggest shills for the government, you know, to, you know, literally people are just making up stuff that they said because these are iconic people that would, you know, would believe that they would say some of these things. So it really spreads there's a real large gambit when it comes to astronauts, what people think about them.
What were some of the things they said on that video? Because I think I'm one of the few people in the United States who hasn't seen it, so...
Probably one of the ones that stuck out to me, I think, was probably the first one, which was the Chinese astronaut that was in space kept talking about hearing a knocking sound inside a spaceship. I mean, you're not going to hear an outside, but I mean, a knocking sound while he's up there. And I found that really chilling because when you're up in space and you're typically there by yourself on some of the very first missions for a lot of these people, probably nothing's going to be more chilling to you than hearing a tapping sound on the outside of your spacecraft.
Yeah, that's like the end of the first Alien movie,
yeah,
when it's not quite jettisoned into space. That's horrifying.
Well, there's something very urban legend-y about that, and I don't mean that it itself is an urban legend. I mean the sort of, like, hook claw across the top of the car and, you know, the drips. And there's something very like, oh, my gosh, I'm alone, and I'm hearing the knocking. And the thing that I found really interesting about that is when I was hearing it, I was thinking to myself, well, you know, maybe that's just a, you know, loose O-ring or something banging on the side. But then the video went on to say that the two consecutive missions had the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is absolutely terrifying.
In space, no.
I really like the one
screaming
with the Russian astronauts reporting seeing the, like, massive angelic entities outside the spaceship,
mm-hmm,
like on separate missions. That was pretty freaky.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's just something about that because it's easy to believe that these guys know something that we don't know, and that they are, because, I mean, there is not a lot of
civilians, especially at the time.
It's hard to discredit an astronaut.
Well, it's also easy to believe that these people would keep their mouth shut to the deathbeds.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
You know, these are very, very government loyal people, military and stuff like that.
So fertile ground for conspiracies.
Yeah. So what do you think from researching these things? Do you think there's something up there on the moon?
I think that there is likely things that they have seen that's up there that they're not allowed to talk about. And I think that goes to the very end of what we talked about in that top five video, in that if you think about it, if people really thought that there were aliens, like, up in space, I think it would cause probably a global panic.
This comes back to this sort of idea behind the Brookings Report. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, these guys are probably seeing something, and again, they're all government employees that are probably picked to probably, if they need to be quiet about something, that they would believe that they would be quiet about something.
Right, right. Well, I personally, we were talking about this earlier, and we knew this topic was going to come up, and we were talking that I find it hard to believe. You know, a big topic in the paranormal and mysteries and such is the secrets program. And although I may not follow it to the extremes that some of these guys are saying, I find it hard to believe that our government wouldn't have some kind of secret space program, that there isn't some kind of activity going on up there that is not of public knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it goes as far as what some people claim it is, but I almost guarantee you there's some projects going on up there that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. One of the evidence that I would think, if you look at, like, the Russian government has its own special forces designed to fight in space.
Really?
Yeah, they train. They have specific soldiers that their training program is designed that they fight in space. Now, why is that the case? I have no idea. I don't know what they're planning for. I don't know what made them feel this was necessary.
Yeah, and there's that hacker who hacked into the, I think it was the CIA database, and came out with a list of non-terrestrial officers.
Yeah, this was, I actually was just hearing this on another radio show the other night, and they were talking about, they found a list, and all it said was, like, scheduled off-world, and there was, like, 100 Navy men on it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, off-world could mean anything. It could mean secret space, or it could mean, you know, you're living on Marklar or something, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
But, yeah, I just love that stuff. I can go off and on about it forever, but unfortunately, you know, we got to pay the bills, and we're coming up on our first commercial break. And when we come back, we will have more of One Candle Society. So stick around to Radio Wasteland.
Winter is here, and it's going to get one of my thoughts. You're looking good again, it's one of my friends. Loosen up the thing, shit says that. What is it?
This is Carl and the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now, they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
After we inspected a vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck, for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, "I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance." "Tolerance is accumulative," I said. "This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood." He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, "They are frustrated, because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better." I replied, "If we can make it better, it was not perfect." Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hey, Carl, let's find a new place to eat. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you tried the Cedar Tree Restaurant in Palo Cedro?
No, I haven't yet. What's it like?
Hey, it's great. Locally owned and operated. The owner, Susan, does a superb job. Food's outstanding, and the entire dining experience is well worth that short trip to Palo Cedro.
Okay, what are their hours?
7:30 to 2, Saturday through Tuesday. 7:30 to 8, Wednesday through Friday. You won't be sorry that you went out there.
All right, let's go.
A true tribute band, Double Trouble. A tribute to Tom Petty and Bob Seger all in one show. Michael Furlong performs his tribute to Tom Petty and Terry Jail performs his tribute to Bob Seger all in one event. Come out for a night of great rock and roll on Friday, August 11th at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
A tribute to Tom Petty and Bob Seger live in the Event Center. This is a great performance of all-American rock and roll music packed with dozens of hit songs. You'll recognize and enjoy them all evening. Law, a must-see show. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WindRiver.com. Tickets for this event are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Don't miss your chance to see Double Trouble, a tribute to Tom Petty and Bob Seger in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, August 11th. A good time will be had by all. For details, call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN or log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Concerts are better at the River.
Mark, you know what I've been craving lately? Chinese food.
Abby, I have the perfect solution. Sailing Boat Restaurant has partnered with Haven Humane Society for this month's second Tuesday dining restaurant.
Wow, so I can get my Chinese food fix and help out animals in need at the same time? Sailing Boat Restaurant always satisfies my cravings with their amazing food.
Please join us Tuesday, August 8th at Sailing Boat Restaurant from 5 to 9 p.m. They have graciously donated a portion of the proceeds to help Haven Humane reach their goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we are here with our guest, One Candle Society.
All right, so our topic that we're going to be talking about here is black-eyed children, and I'm really kind of excited about this one because, frankly, I really know very little about it. Probably the most of what I know about it is by watching your guys' video, and I thought it was really kind of interesting, the concepts of what they could possibly be. I'm personally quite a horror movie fan, and black-eyed children... that's why I've been interested, is there was really a rash of black-eyed children movies through the late 2000s. And then I found out that this is really something that people are citing. Can you tell us a little bit about this video?
So, Chauncey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
You can let me in. It's safe. I don't have a gun.
yeah, I caught that from the video. That was freaky.
yeah, it's really weird. That's what a lot of the experience are like. You hear knocking on your door or someone comes up and knocks on your car. It's some kid. They're usually wearing outdated clothes. You start to talk to them, but you feel like something just really isn't right about them. And as the conversation goes on, they get more and more forceful about either letting them in or taking them somewhere. Then you notice their eyes are solid black, like full, no white, nothing else. And usually at that point, that's where they start to kind of do the subtle threatening. Like in one of the reports, the kid goes, "Oh, it's okay, you can let me in. I don't have a gun." And the guy took that to mean, "I don't need a gun."
Right.
So they're very, very strange reports, but also very, very fascinating.
Yeah, I was interested in the fact that in the video, you were talking about how they really, these reports and these sightings didn't really start to hit anybody's, monitoring until, what was it, like the 90s? The late 90s?
Yeah, early 90s. It was around the same time the Mortal Kombat movie came out, because if I remember right, that was the movie that was playing during the encounter.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. And so where do most of these sightings happen?
They happen scattered around. You've got some mainly in Anglo-Saxon countries, actually. You've got them in England, Ireland. You've got them on both of the coasts of the U.S. Moving inward. I've never found a sighting in Indiana, though, but they're in most states. I know they've been sighted in Texas, California, Washington, Illinois. Most of the states have had at least one sighting, if not multiple, but most commonly on the east and west coast here in the U.S.
Yeah. I really wanted to bring this up, but we actually have a quasi-black-eyed children sighting pretty much in the area right where we are. Bernie.
What, really?
Yeah, well, Bernie, which is a few hours out from Reading here, has what's called Black Ranch Road, which is reputed to be haunted by a child with pitch black eyes who appears to drunk drivers and tries to get them to run off the road. Now, it's a little different than the sightings you were talking about, because it's not the knock-knock, try and get them to do something sort of thing. It's more of a sighting out of the side of the window, but all of the sightings we've had around here are pretty emphatic. This child has, soulless black eyes. So,
yeah, you got to be a little less subtle when you're trying to get a drunk's attention, I
think. yeah, I think so. And as I was saying, this wasn't specifically black-eyed children. People say, oh, it's the ghost of a child who was killed by a drunk driver or whatever, but it's a child, it's creepy, it's got black eyes. So
yeah,
I feel like that qualifies.
that prompts the question is, what exactly are black-eyed children? I mean, do we know, mm-hmm. or do we have any suspicions as to what they might be?
It really runs the gambit. When we made our documentary, we kind of found that there are a lot of different things that kind of fit the category of black-eyed kids. The whole concept of them not being allowed into your car and your house fit very in kind of like a vampire kind of genre of what they could be, or you're getting this deep sense of a predator feeling about them. I know that you're really into UFOs. One of the things that not a lot of people know about black-eyed kids is they actually share a very, very similar description to many abductee stories.
Interesting.
Involving whenever people claim that they've been abducted and they've been in rooms, and one of the things that they've seen in the room are these young children with large black eyes.
Yeah, and they're suspecting that they're suspecting they're hybrids.
Yeah, that's a large number of people were talking about these. Back in the day of seeing these things, and now that they're, people are encountering them, down here on Earth, a lot of people are thinking that, that they're alien hybrids walking around.
So what do most people lean towards when every paranormal topic has their circle of people who frequent that topic? What are people sort of leaning towards as thinking the black-eyed children are?
demons, because most people think everything's a demon.
Yeah, I feel you there.
If you did like a Family Feud of paranormal investigators, you're like, show me demons.
Right.
Literally. Like, number one. Dang, you know, you just did a safe answer.
Yeah, you even got our producer laughing on that one. That's funny. So, I assume that you don't think they're demons. So, what do you think they are? And I realize that when I say think, I'm going for your theory that you're probably going to say, well, you're really not sure, but what's your theory?
Our leading theory is actually that it's connected to the shadow people phenomena, that it involves degrees of possession, because shadow people often try to wear you down over time. And there's a lot of connections between them, particularly with, there's even very rarely reported white-eyed kids, and there's also very rarely reported white shadow people. So our theory is, although we don't have, like, it's something that we're still working on. We're going to talk a lot about that in season 3 of our channel. But we think that there's some sort of connection between the two, and we're looking forward to kind of examining into that.
So the thought is maybe that the black-eyed children are transitional or have been taken by the shadow people?
Yeah, and we think it's also might be part of a process where the shadow person wears down the child and the shadow person possesses the child. And we're thinking, we're currently working on a theory involving that the inviting them in might be more of a metaphor, allowing them to start to move on to stronger bodies.
I see. So so the idea is that the child is more susceptible.
Yeah. Huh. One of the things that we talked about in the documentary that we made is we saw some shadow people. A lot of times, sightings of shadow people are often made by people that are often disenfranchised, people that are more, you know, economically impoverished, people that are often abusing drugs, people that are in domestic violence situations, like, you know, children that are abused often, and they often come to them. And one of the things that we notice about children, the black-eyed kids, is they're always being described as having outdated clothes. Well, a lot of disenfranchised youth, which there's hundreds of thousands that go missing, you know, worldwide, you know, most disenfranchised youth often wear outdated clothes because you're having to go to secondhand shops,
yeah,
which might explain why they're always wearing outdated clothes.
So it seems like the parallel you're making here, although not sexual in nature, would be like a sexual predator basically preying on somebody who was susceptible, maybe somebody who had less people who would care, somebody who was more susceptible to being taken advantage of? Is that kind of the implication?
Yeah, if you look at the process that a shadow person goes through when first encountering someone, it's like they're trying to break them down, and then they're trying to make them reliant on them. It's very much a predatory process. It's the sort of thing you see in social work all the time.
So we've gone over the theories of what we think black-eyed children might be. So what do we think shadow people might be?
Show me demon!
Well, I'm aware that a lot of people think this, but what do you think? Because I don't know. I kind of think that if there are demons, it's probably a little more of a trans-dimensional sort of thing than a demonic
a lot
one.
Of people use the word demon outside of a Christian context, you know, they might just mean negative entities from whatever kind.
Well, first, don't get us wrong. We're very open to the idea of demons existing. We just think it's a term that's thrown around way, way too much.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's a little
everyone
too.
Everyone immediately jumps to it.
Yeah, and it's a little too much of a blanket term that people can fall back on and be all, well, it's demons. Okay, we're done with that one. You know, and when really it probably takes a longer look in order for us to figure it out. Well, we're coming up on our final commercial break. You are listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, One Candle Society. We will be right back.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
It's the 10-year anniversary of the Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show at Turtle Bay. Enjoy a fun-filled, educational wildlife show where animals showcase their natural behaviors in a captivating and inspiring atmosphere. With new behaviors, new information, and some new animals, this year's show will thrill, captivate, and inspire you. Walk on the Wild Side is presented by Reading Bank of Commerce. Catch the show at 11 a.m. and noon, Tuesdays through Sundays at Turtle Bay, starting Saturday, May 27th. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction, letting you know that you no longer have to make an appointment to renew your California CCW permit. Simply navigate to readingccw.com and select a renewal class to attend. While you're there, download the renewal application and fill it out. 4 weeks from your expiration date, send in your application and your training certificate. For any questions, give me a call, 530-999-1822, or visit us online at readingccw.com. This is Ted Lighty, and I'll see you at the range.
Right, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, One Candle Society. We are talking about shadow people.
You know, shadow people, in the little bit of research that I had done it on it way prior to this show, I have heard that there's a lot of association with sleep paralysis. And that's why I kind of had my interest piqued in the topic, is because I've actually had sleep paralysis. I didn't have any shadow people, but it was absolutely terrifying. But
I've had sleep paralysis before, but no shadow people when I had it.
Yeah. So shadow people, you know, we think, so the assumption is that they are transdimensional sort of demonic sort of spirit entity, right?
But we're still working on our exact theory on what it is, but we definitely believe that it's likely something that people would perceive as being spiritual. Yeah.
Yeah, I see. But
I think they're associated with sleep paralysis. I think they're intentionally looking for us in vulnerable states. I'm not sure if they're inducing it or if they're drawn to it, trying to feed off I don't know if you get this when you had sleep paralysis, but I found it to be a very terrifying and painful experience. I'm almost wondering if they're just picking up on that and coming to feed off the ambient emotion.
Yeah.
Or if they're actually using it.
When I learned that it was associated with sleep paralysis, it sent my imagination going, and my imagination landed on that there was some sort of possession thing going on, and that it had woken up part of the person's mind who was trying to keep it from happening, but the body was still just not awake. you know, and so it was like a thwarted attempt at possession. But
see, we've heard a lot of stories along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are trying to force themselves away in that sort of situation. Mm-hmm. And so, a lot of people have actually butt off a situation along those lines by grounding themselves in faith, saying that they were in pain, they couldn't move, so the only thing they could think to do is start reciting the Lord's Prayer, and that gave them the grounding to find their way out of it.
Right, and that seems to be the go-to for a lot of the things that people associate with demons, and my I personally am not any kind of religious at all, and so I tend to look at it like it gives the person strength to fight their own battle. You know, it helps them; their faith gives them the strength and confidence to fight off whatever.
Yeah,
it is
almost
attacking them.
Almost every story involving a shadow person, a lot of times the person really in the end does something to try to make them feel safe. Like there's always this drive, in, you know, of trying to make yourself more safe. You know, whenever they're around.
Right. So, what about sightings of shadow people? Do they tend to run somewhat hand in hand with the black-eyed children?
They can. A lot of times, one of the things that we talk a lot about shadow people is they tend to piggyback on a lot of other paranormal activity in the area. When you look at reported sightings of places that are supposedly haunted with ghosts, a lot of times people talk about seeing shadow people. Even with alien encounters, when people have encountered greys or things like that, sometimes there are lingering signs of shadow people, and even the occasional encounter with men in black, people sighting shadow people after them.
So maybe they're just...
Yeah, they are.
Right. Stalker watchers and followers of all things. Well, I mean, this would maybe come back to the fear factor, because, you know, everything... That we just talked about there
is terrifying.
Yeah, is potentially terrifying to a person, and so there might be some sort of feeding off of fear. It seems to me like, you know, my issue with the feeding off of fear attitude has always been that it's a little too.
It's very human centric.
Yeah, it is very human centric. Like the idea that we are somewhat food based off of. I don't know. It
well,
just seems a little too
it's very convenient, I guess. But
we can look at it also on a biological level. Mm-hmm. If they're feeding off ambient energy, when a human is in a state of fear, all their vitals start to skyrocket, and we're producing and radiating more energy during that time. And it's also something that they could also do to animals in theory as well, but I'm not sure if that's the case. I'm just saying someone could make that argument.
I see.
And a lot of times with the shadow, we talked in our documentary about shadow people being able to find people predisposed for possibly being able to be induced to have this much fear. Because humans actually do it themselves too. We talked about a study in which women who were involved with horrible instances of domestic violence were put in a room with their kids, with a bunch of other women that hadn't been their kids playing. And they could bring men that were horrible, that committed horrible acts of domestic violence on a two-way mirror, and they could pick out in the room which woman had, like, a history of domestic violence just on their behavior, how they looked, or the vibe that they were getting off, like in the 90 percentile.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I definitely believe that those capabilities are out there, so that makes sense to me.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was what we were saying earlier. It's just they're looking for someone vulnerable to possess or what have you. And it might not necessarily be a fear as sustenance thing, but a terrified person. Our work's half done.
Right, and and before we run out of time here, what about the white shadow people?
Well, it's hard to make a strong statement. We have such a small pool of reports. We've actually been trying to get our fans to gather up as many reports as they've heard about them and just send it to us, because there's just so few encounters with them. Although people don't generally feel afraid of them, they almost feel empowered by them, almost like they do a secure sense. And they go out of their way in the stories to say that they are not afraid. Like, they'll capitalize this part in a story. Like, we were not afraid of this. That's one of the weird things about those stories. It's almost like brainwashing.
Hmm. All right. So you guys have talked about, we're coming up on the end of the show here, so I want to make sure that our listeners know where to find out more about you guys and where to watch a lot of these great videos. Where can people find out more about you?
Well, we have our big YouTube channel, the best place to find all, that's where all of our content is, One Candle Society. They can also check out, we're all on social media, One Candle Society on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can always go on any of our social medias to hear about what our upcoming topics are going to be, our day-to-day stuff, and give us suggestions on what videos that people want to see us do.
Although right now we're taking a break as we're preparing for season 3, which is going to start in October. So make sure everybody gets subscribed and start following us.
All right. And season 3, can you give us any clues about what we might expect in season 3?
Well, we're definitely going to be revisiting the shadow people connection with Black Eyed Kids, but for the most part, we're also going to try to expose people to a lot of subjects they've just never heard of. I'm hoping to try to convince Vic that maybe we tackle Bigfoot. It's about time. We're getting there. But definitely more, we've heard a lot of people wanting more UFO stuff.
Right.
We've gotten that request for that a lot. So they're going to be seeing definitely more UFO stuff in season 3.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you guys very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, One Candle Society. Check them out. Search them on YouTube. They shouldn't be too hard to find. Thanks for checking us out.
Time goes by so slow. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Trump's new chief of staff to conduct his job.
Hoping to turn the page on a bumpy first few months in office, the president has directed all staffers to report to General John Kelly, the new chief of staff. Spokeswoman Sarah Sanders.
General Kelly, I think, will bring a new structure to the White House and discipline and strength.
On his first day on the job, Kelly removed newly installed communications director Anthony Scaramucci. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The United States is imposing new sanctions on Venezuela in the wake of what White House advisor General H.R. McMaster is calling a sham election yesterday in the country.